from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. On Friday, a judge issued a temporary ruling that may allow City College of San Francisco to resubmit evidence in its fight to maintain accreditation, which was revoked temporarily in July of 2013 by the Accrediting Commission for Community and Junior Colleges, and is required for the granting of degrees and the receiving of federal funding. Loss of accreditation would almost surely force closing, and just 2 days earlier, on Wednesday, the commission granted City College a newly created restoration status that gives the school 2 years to meet all requirements in 32 areas where the evaluation team found continuing noncompliance or faced termination with no possible appeal. A commission spokeswoman said restoration status will remain in effect, but the city attorney's office, which brought the original lawsuit, said it plans to propose an injunction that would let the college pursue reconsideration under court guidance instead. I want to discuss in this forum segment the decision by Judge Curtis Carno of the Superior Court and its possible effects on the college, as well as look at what lies ahead for the college. Joining us in studio is Nanette Asimov, higher education reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, who has been dutifully following this story. And thank you for joining us, Nanette.
Good morning.
Morning to you. We also have with us, or will have with us, a number of other people, Barbara Benno, who is president of the Accrediting Commission, and Tim Killa-Kelly, who is president of the faculty union at City College. What is mysterious to us is why there is no one available from City College. And we did talk to them yesterday, Nanette, and they said they would provide someone for us. They didn't promise. They said they were trying. Recognizably, this is a holiday, Martin Luther King's birthday, but one would think it was in their best interest to have somebody.
I would think so.
Okay. Well, we'll let that stand as a mystery. But let's talk about the ruling and really what it means. It means essentially that the Accreditation Commission broke the law and that they're going to have to provide due process, which the college is entitled to.
Well, that is true. They will have to do that. However, let me just also clarify something. In the intro, it was said that the revocation took place temporarily, but the revocation has never taken place. The college has been fully accredited this entire time, and everybody was waiting to hear whether the judge would say it's okay to revoke the college's accreditation. And in a sense, that is what he did. He did not invalidate that decision. As you said, there was a decision by the Accrediting Commission just days earlier that will give City College an extension of 2 years. So everybody can breathe easier for now. The revocation is not going to take place. What the judge did say was that the Accrediting Commission broke the law in four areas. And the law that was broken is the state's unfair competition law, which bars which bars unlawful business practices. So he said that they had too few academics on a commission, that the commission itself was improperly made up. But he said that those didn't matter. They did not materially impact the decision.
Likewise with Barbara Bino, who we'll hear from having her husband on the commission, yeah?
Correct.
That was dismissed.
Okay, it was dismissed. But what did make a difference was the fact that the commission did not let City College respond to certain deficiencies that they came up with about City College, that its evaluation team found, and they didn't clearly explain what those deficiencies were. So the whole thing hinges on this, and now City College gets a chance to go back and address these issues.
But full accreditation is still not ensured. I mean, there's, as I understand it, 15 days for both sides to file additional information, yeah?
Yes. So, well, what happens now is that the city of San Francisco, which brought this lawsuit, has a chance to draw up the rules by which the commission has to provide due process to City College, and that's due by February 3rd. And so when that happens, the judge will review that, and then that will take place. And I will say, and Barbara Bino can address this, and Tim Killa-Kelly, the commission has never really cut City College any slack on anything when it comes to appeals or reviews and please take another look and give us another chance. The commission has always said no to this. And there have been blips in the road, you know, oh, well, you've got to review this again, but it's never really come to very much. And so the only thing that's really saving the college right now is when the commission was sort of forcibly pushed into granting this extension, this two-year extension. So the college gets to, that's really what's going to keep the college's doors open for now.
But those eligibility standards with 2 years, which would allow for restoration, are decided upon by the commission.
That's right. That's right. And if at the end of 2 years, and I'm sure Tim will talk about this, if the college does not satisfy every single accrediting standard to the full, the commission could then revoke City College's accreditation, and that would be the end of it, no appeal. So that's the conditions under which City College gets to have this extension.
Just one quick question, then we'll bring Barbara Bino and Tim Killikelly into this. I'm just wondering if this essentially trying to get the right wording here, obviously I'm flailing around a little bit, but this lawsuit was instituted by the city attorney's office, and the city attorney's office has said, in effect, this allows for a redo. It does allow for a redo, doesn't it?
Well, that's what they hoped. They wanted a redo. They wanted the judge to invalidate the accrediting commission's decision to revoke accreditation. The judge did not do that. The judge didn't find there was enough compelling evidence. For example, the city thought that there was a conflict of interest because the commission had taken a political position contrary to the one that students and faculty at City College took around, community college law in California. And the judge said that's really not. In fact, he said the logic of that would suggest that no college could be accredited in California under that sort of logic. So basically, what it comes down to is the revocation decision stands, but we have these new circumstances that have a two-year extension allowing the college to try to make this work.
And I'm glad we can separate those. The two-year extension occurred on Wednesday. The court decision occurred on Friday of last week. And Nanette Asimov, again, is higher education reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. I want to bring Barbara Bino into this, who is president of the Accrediting Commission for Community and Junior Colleges. Welcome, Barbara Bino.
Good morning, Michael, and listeners. Thank you for having me, Michael.
No, glad to have you. You see this as, in some ways, really a validation of the commission's work?
Well, we're actually pretty gratified that the court found that all of the high-energy accusations of the commission about unfairness or about bias or about...
That's a good euphemism, high energy.
Yeah, about political motivation, all were dismissed by the court. We feel vindicated that the decision clearly states the commission was never out to get City College in any way, and we're gratified that the judge ruled the allegations were never true and aren't true, and that he acknowledged the process was essentially fair.
But what about the fact that they also said that the college is entitled to due process here and that the law was broken?
Well, the judge has indicated that he believes we violated four areas of the law that they've borrowed from federal regulation, and without getting into the detail of what that borrowing is. So he's speaking about federal regulations. We have a different point of view, and we're in the process of reviewing his decision and deciding how we'll respond to it. But in only in one area, and that has to do with about 10 items that the judge believes that the college did not have adequate chance to respond to, only in that area has the judge asked us to give the City College a chance to respond. At least that's how we understand the court's decision. And certainly, while we don't agree with all aspects of the judge's decision, we're going to give City College the option to give the commission more information about its compliance. In 2013, that's when the decision was made, and that's the period of time to which the standards the judges identified pertain.
What about the role of the commission? I mean, there are those who feel that it's been somewhat of an adversarial role, and yet there are those who, somewhat, I mean, some of the advocates say even more than somewhat, but then you hear from the other side that A lot of the findings of the commission really suggest some pretty strong admonitions that should have been taken into account before the Wednesday decision was rendered. In other words, the Wednesday decision is maybe going too soft.
I guess there is debate in the world of higher education and maybe among members of the public. But the commission, when it took its action in 2013, looked at significant noncompliance by City College of San Francisco. And even though the city attorney has brought this lawsuit, he has never argued, and it's never been argued, that the City College was not out of compliance with many standards. Whether the decision was harsh, well, the commission believes it was appropriate given the amount of noncompliance and the number of years that the City College had been out of compliance. You know, in addition, the commission put the college on show cause for 1 year in 2012. And when the commission took a look in 2013, it judged that very little work had been done to come into compliance. So part of the issue here is how quickly can a college respond? Will a college respond when the commission lets it know it's in serious trouble? We have two cases of colleges recently on show cause in this state that completely turned around and met all standards in a two-year period. So we know it's possible, and we're hoping with this two-year extension, City College will now do that as well.
And what are those colleges, do you know, Barbara?
Yeah, they're Cuesta College in San Luis Obispo and College of the Sequoias in Visalia.
And one quick question before I let you go. There was some raised eyebrows about the fact that Peter Crabtree, your husband, was on the evaluation team, and That was ruled not a conflict of interest by the court, but some say nepotism, or what do you say?
Well, thank you. That's a good question. I'm glad to have the opportunity to respond to it. You know, Peter is a professional working in many aspects of higher ed, a volunteer in professional service as well as his regular academic service. And his participation on the team is was viewed by the commission as just part of another professional's activity and obligation to participate in accreditation. I think we've said in court that I play no role in the commission decisions. The president of the commission does not write a draft decision for the commission or advise the commission on what its decision should be. So the conflict of interest policy we have details conflicts between the team member and the college, or the commissioner and the college. It did not at that time speak to any sense of whether people who are relatives of commissioners or staff can serve on teams. So we don't believe there ever was a conflict, and we appreciate the judge's decision that there wasn't a conflict.
Barbara Bino, we appreciate your being with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And again, Barbara Bino is president of the Accrediting Commission for Community and Junior Colleges. Once again, we did invite City College to have a spokesperson here with us. And as you can tell, there's no spokesperson from City College. But we do have Tim Killikelly with us, who is president of American Federation of Teachers 2121. That's the faculty union at City College of San Francisco. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mike, for having me. I really appreciate the any opportunity to set the record straight about this thing.
Well, what do you need to set the record straight on?
Well, I just thought it was kind of an interesting take on her part that, you know, she seemed to even favor part of this decision. It's kind of interesting to me. They clearly, the judge clearly ruled that the ACCJC had broken the law, and they denied City College due process in 2013, and they're going to have to go back and correct it. And it's just sort of interesting, her partake that it really wasn't so bad. And it was also, the judge didn't really rule, and he had never really claimed that it wasn't part of the sort of suit in general to talk about the actual wisdom of the decision. He stayed away from any of those kind of questions, deferring that to, like, saying it's really an accreditation process that needs to go forward, and he didn't want, as a judge, to be, I guess, micromanaging it. So he didn't really say that that the decision was good or bad. He kind of just stayed away from that. And I'd like to really take a little bit of a step back from this so that the public can understand, you know, the sort of basics of what they think accreditation are supposed to be about.
I wish you had a better phone line, but go ahead. We'll try to do our best.
I'm on my cell phone. I was at the Martin Luther King breakfast, actually, so I'm stepping outside. So people, it's supposed to be about educational quality. And if you look at the student success scorecard put out by the state chancellor's office, if you look at articles by the Public Policy Institute of California, you're going to see that City College is above average in almost all the categories relative to other state community colleges. When it comes to transfer rates or persistence rates, or like it's sort of we're off the charts in terms of our success with the more underprepared students, the remedial ESL. So the issues that the commission is sort of emphasizing in all of this had to do with finances and governance. And the commission really has kind of lost its way on what its general function is. They threatened to close the college down. And go back to 2012. Not one member of the visiting team that came from the ACCJC wanted to give City College show cause. Not one of them. And yet they decided to go with show cause. And they have now thrown the college into a crisis because of that level of sanction. If they had just simply done what their visiting team had recommended, none of this nightmare would have happened. They could have worked with the college. And the idea of what she said before also, to set the record straight, that they didn't do enough work, the financial issues. We went out in City College and helped pass Prop A, which brought about $15 million into the college every year.
We went over those finances rather thoroughly the last time we talked about City College, and let me extend my thanks to you for being with us. Again, Tim Killikelly is president of the Faculty Union at City College of San Francisco. That's American Federation of Teachers 2121. I want to bring our listeners into this. We've got a little bit of time left here. We'd like to hear from you if you have some thoughts about essentially what's transpired on Wednesday, on Friday, a couple of decisions, big decisions with respect to City College and accreditation. We'd certainly like to hear from you. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, so feel free to join the program with your questions or comments. Again, toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post any questions or comments there. That's kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And you can also tweet us. Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Let me just read a couple of your emails here. Bill writes, the quality of education was not a reason for withholding CCSF's accreditation. I had excellent instructors at CCSF. The accreditation should not be denied for accounting reasons. And another listener writes, the absurdity is that CCSF had its accreditation taken away by a body which is not accountable to the public and whose standards are not those which best serve the community. The people at San Francisco want CCSF open. They like the services it provides, and many transfer to other institutions who take its classes seriously. The only people discrediting the education given at CCSF is the accreditation committee. The real worry here is private political forces are imposing their vision of what community colleges should look like. Although, I don't know if I want to go into the weeds here for just a moment, though. Nanette Asimov, of course, covers higher education for the San Francisco Chronicle, and she's here with us in studio. But there's a lot of other battles going on with respect to City College. I mean, people may be satisfied, as Tim was suggesting, with the teaching and so forth, but you've got property that they own up for sale now and to the highest bidder. People think it should go into public housing or should not be part of this market gentrification. There are other battles.
Oh, there are other battles. One interesting battle is, will they be able to build a performing arts building that had been planned and which the state-appointed special trustee who now makes all decisions for City College, he canceled that. He said, you know, under the circumstances, we just don't have enough money, bond or not, to go ahead with this. So there's a battle that we'll see heating up pretty soon.
And there's also the closing of the Civic Center campus, which some feel suggests that there ought to be a reconstitution of the Board of Trustees. We don't have time to get into all of these, but let's hear what our callers have to say. And we begin, David, with you. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I attended some universities as well as junior colleges, and when I took economics and financial management, it was at a junior college. And the standards that I was taught, that never borrow money over 3%, that was considered dangerous, and 5% was considered deadly, 7% was murder. So now when I'm seeing an accreditation agency like this one teaching kids that 7%, 16% student loans are paid, being forced at 15%, That's insane. So I'm wondering who's coming up with these fake standards that are now crushing junior colleges.
Nanette, some thoughts from you.
Well, I believe it's the other community colleges, the peer institutions that together come up with these accrediting standards. And also the U.S. Department of Education oversees accreditation in this country, despite the fact that this is a private agency. And so they have to have the standards. They have to impose the standards that the federal government requires. And it is more than educational quality. It is the financial viability of the institution.
That was really at the heart of this decision.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thank you for the call, David, and governance. Yeah. Let me get Steve on here. Steve, hi.
Hello. This is Steve Bruckman. I'm general counsel with City College of San Francisco. You mentioned earlier that you were hoping to have someone from City College on
yeah.
the line.
I'm glad you called in over the transom. We couldn't get anybody from the college, strangely
enough. Yeah, there was a little bit of misunderstanding, but I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Well, I guess some of the questions boil down to what the college's responses to Judge Carnot's ruling. I mean, just in a general way as well as specific as it can be.
Yeah, in a general way, the college's response is that we're pleased that the ruling will allow us to continue on the path that we're on of achieving accreditation for City College of San Francisco for the present time and for the future. The restoration process that was approved 2 days earlier on Wednesday gives the City College of San Francisco 2 days to achieve compliance with all standards. We're confident that we will achieve compliance with all standards within those 2 years. And during these intervening 2 years, we will be an accredited institution and welcome students back to our campuses.
And what about some of the public perception? I mean, there's certainly been a lot of support for the college. We heard a lot of it in our coverage of that. But there were certainly many who felt that things, not only the Accreditation Commission, perhaps that things were a fiscal mess, to be kind of blunt about it. And the governance was in also chaos.
Yeah, I think there's general consensus by all parties that there were issues that needed to be addressed. It's now 2.5 years ago since the college was placed on show cause. I don't think anyone disagrees that improvements needed to be made. There were those who felt that the order to show cause and subsequent termination were too harsh a penalty to be imposed. But we all agree and have all been moving forward at a rapid pace to address the issues of a financial nature and others. And good progress has been made, and I think that's evidenced by the positive response we received from the Accrediting Commission last week.
So you would agree with the city attorney's office this allows you for a full redo, so to speak?
A full redo is kind of the accreditation is always complex. So I'm not sure about if we're looking at a full redo. The restoration process is a unique process that has never been applied to any institution before. So we're sort of forging new ground in that area. In terms of the opinion of the court last week, I think Nanette Asimov explained it correctly that it's fairly narrow, and Dr. Bino as well explained, I think, accurately that the court instructed the commission to give the college a chance to present more information that it did not have the opportunity to present in 2013. It's unclear whether that will make a difference in terms of how the commission sees this.
Well, Steve, I'm appreciative of the fact that you called in, and I thank you.
My pleasure.
And we'll go to another caller. Lillian, good morning. You're on with us. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Lillian Marujo Duck, and I'm currently the Academic Senate President at City College of San Francisco. And, you know, the first thing that I wanted to say is just, you know, a lot of props to City College for, you know, everything that it has done and in the response to the accreditation crisis. People have been putting in a great deal of effort to, you know, take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. But I did want to put out, I know that Nanette Asimov had just listed some issues that City College is also facing right now. And I wanted to put out, and especially to the community that's listening, that at City College right now, lots of decisions are being made that are not being made with the community input. We have a department reorganization that's taking place without full dialogue. We have a rumored, and I say rumored because it hasn't actually been fully disclosed yet, or not disclosed is not the right word, but shifts in ownership and use of property that once put in place are very, very difficult to undo or to change.
Lillian, forgive me, but I'm looking at a listener comment here that may dovetail with exactly what you're saying, and I wonder if it does in your mind or what you might have to say about it. A listener writes, what about the sudden unannounced, I had alluded to this before, shutdown of the Civic Center campus without, this listener writes, notification to teachers or students, and the second announcement to sell the property to the highest bidder? What kind of planning and administration is running this place? Actually, Nanette, to you?
Well, just to clarify on the Civic Center, as it was explained to me, that is an unreinforced masonry building. It's a beautiful building on Eddy Street. And students and faculty will be asked to go in just a matter of, I guess, a week or two, shifted over to 33 Gough Street, a little less than a mile away. And I guess the issue really is how well the public was informed, or I should say the faculty there and students were informed about this forthcoming shift. But it is something where they want to, I'm told, fix the building and get the people back.
Well, let me go back to our listener, Lillian. You were implying that you were talking about governance, which is why I raised that listener's concern.
Yes, because without speaking, I'm not an engineer. I can't speak to the seismic fitness of Civic Center. But what I can speak to is that we have faculty that have worked at Civic Center, you know, for decades. It's a very vulnerable community. They know that community very well. Using the faculty expertise in order to make that transition, if that transition in classes needed to be made, to intentionally decide not to include the faculty, the expertise of the faculty on the students, the resources available, their needs, this is was poor judgment. And the same type of judgment you can see, or at least the lack of community input, the lack of faculty input is a repeated thing throughout all of these issues.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there because we've come to the end of the hour, but I want to thank Lillian, the caller. Thanks also to Barbara Bino from the Accrediting Commission and Tim Killikelly from the Faculty Union, and thanks to Nanette Asimov here in studio, who writes about higher education for the San Francisco Chronicle. And we thank you, our listeners. Another hour ahead, and the hour ahead, we're going to talk about how to talk about race to children. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.